The great wartime British Prime Minister Sir Winston Churchill reflected on his own amazingly influential life and famously said, "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." And I believe Prime Minister of Britain really caught a sense of the Word of God when it comes to the difference that we make through our getting and our giving. Sir Winston's statement begs the question, if it's true that we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give, what kind of life are you making for yourself and for others? Last week, we thought together in this stewardship series about the seed of service. Our theme across these weeks is simply this: give God a way in to your life, sow your seed of faith. And last week, as we thought together about the seed of service, we looked squarely at Matthew chapter 25, where Jesus makes the amazing statement, "When you've done it unto the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you have done it unto me." But conversely, he said, and boy, this gets me, "Whenever you have not done for others, you have not done for me." We learned and we explained the important principle of God's word in Matthew chapter 25, that God will judge believers, yes, saved, born again, blood-bought, spirit-filled believers will be judged by an exacting standard. How you and I respond in the face of human need. Poor people, struggling people, needy people matter to God. I want to build on this idea as we look at our fourth seed of faith this week, planting the seed of giving. God has an incredible plan for ministry and mission in the Word of God, and it is simply this: every gift we have is a gift from God. I wonder, do we still believe that? We in a culture where we have created so much, I mean, people sent to the moon, and now we're thinking about planting a Mars space colony. Any volunteers to go live on the red planet? We have learned how to put satellites in the sky to monitor everything you are doing. And right now, in a supercomputer somewhere, every email and every telephone conversation you have ever made is recorded. I think we suffer from the sin of being full of ourselves because we have made such amazing advances in technology and medicine and every other way. Have we been so successful that we have forgotten that every gift we have is a gift from God? I wonder, do you believe that? It is a fundamental principle of the Word of God. And if that is indeed the case, then God owns it all. Now, in God's economy, He offers us a pretty good deal. And He simply says this: "I want to pour blessings into your life, but I ask that a portion of the blessings I give to you will flow through you, to you and through you, for the sake of my people." See, here's God's principle. He wants to give, but He needs a point of delivery. He needs the hands and feet that get the resources where they need to go. Now, here's the deal God's offering you. Tell me if you can find a better deal. He says, "Of all I give you, you get to keep 90%. And I ask only for 10% for the sake of others." Now, if you get a 90-10 deal offered to you and you get the 90%, I'd take it any day of the week. Isn't that a pretty darn good deal? Of all that I give you, 90% is yours, a gift of my love and grace. But I require of you 10% to meet the needs of those who are struggling. Right as the Old Testament closes, the book of Malachi speaks a complaint. I don't like the fact that the Old Testament ends with a complaint. But Malachi indicates that God has a complaint against his own people. Those to whom he has given and given and given. Those that he has forgiven and forgiven and forgiven. Those that he has rescued over and over again. Those to whom he gave manna in the wilderness, a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Those to whom he has given his eternal covenant over and over and over again. And the Old Testament ends with a complaint. You have forgotten me. Not only have you forgotten me, but you've forgotten to say thank you. And not only have you forgotten to say thank you, maybe the most damning of all, because you have forgotten me, there are hurting people who are not being helped because you have forgotten me. I'm going to share with you from the Word of God today the real hope that I find about planting a seed of giving by thinking together about this. When you plant your seed of giving, three things happen. The first thing that I want you to notice happens is this. You invite God to restore his favor on your life and to bless you. Turn in your Bibles with me to Malachi chapter 3. This is the complaint that God has against us. And here's my concern. Friends, I'm not trying to be heavy. I am not trying to be unkind today. But here's the truth. Some of us are turning off God's possibility of blessing us. We are turning away the possibility of God blessing us because, frankly, we do not trust Him. We do not trust that every perfect gift comes from Him, and we are unwilling to trust Him with our finances. And we are our own worst spiritual enemy at that point because we are blocking God from blessing us. It's like going to the front yard and turning off the spigot. It cannot flow. Listen to what God says to his own people. Malachi 3, beginning in verse 6. I do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. You deserve to be destroyed. I've thought about destroying you. But I am the God who does not change. I continue to preserve you. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Almighty. But you ask, do we return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse. Do you see that? Here's the curse. We are preventing ourselves from being blessed. You know, that breaks God's heart. That God wants to give you a gift, and you will not let Him. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines of your field will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed. For yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Interesting that he equates blessing us in order to bless others. He says here, we have a problem. The storehouse is empty. This place from which we draw resources to bless those who hurt, those who are hungry, those are in need. The storehouse is empty. So many of you volunteer in the great ministries in our church and our community. Some of you volunteer at the Rockdale Community Food Bank. You know what it is like when the storehouse is empty. Some of you volunteer at our Lakeview Clothing Closet. You know what it is like when the storehouse is empty. You see the need. You want to meet the need, but the storehouse is empty. How interesting that God always equates blessing to us in order that blessings flow through us. I am convinced that there are some excellent people in the life of our church who really are soundly saved, who really do want the blessing of God, but right now your finances prevent you from trusting God. And I understand we've got some folks that have lost their jobs. I understand. We've got some single mothers who have been abandoned and are trying their best to provide for their children. I understand. We've got some spiritual singles in this church. What does that mean? You have a passionate faith for Jesus Christ, but your spouse does not and does not let you give what you want to give, what you desire to give. I understand the challenges. But I'm also aware that there are some good folks in the life of our church who could give but are simply afraid. The title of this series is Give God a Way into Your Life. And I believe one of the greatest ways we let God into our life is when we invite Him into that place that scares us the most. And I don't know many people today who are not scared about their finances. Anybody want to volunteer and say that? I am scared about my finances. The stock market looks like an EKG out of control. I am worried about my finances until I realize that every gift I have is a gift of God, not a gift of government, not a gift of the stock market. I want to encourage you in my life, as I've experienced in my life, to give God a way into your life. When you plant the seed of giving, God restores His favor on you because you allow His blessing to flow into you and flow through you. Now, the Old Testament gives a very simple standard. It's not the sum, it is the percentage. So wherever you are in your financial journey, you can calculate one dime for $1. I don't know if you're at the place of the tithe yet, but moving toward that ever so wonderfully opens the spigot of God's restored blessing in your life that He might meet the need of someone else through you. I think of our Good Samaritan Fund, and I'm so proud of our trained Good Samaritan volunteers. It's kind of a quiet ministry in the life of our church because can you imagine how it would make you feel if you had to beg? Can you imagine what it would feel like if you had to walk into somebody's church and say, I need help? Can you imagine what that feels like? I am so glad we have these excellent volunteers who welcome the needy of our community into our church. We have a special, comfortable place where they can be granted the dignity of a real conversation. Our volunteers offer spiritual support and encouragement. And through you and me, have resources available to meet specific needs. Malachi 3 talks about the tithe and the offering. The tithe is the first tenth of every gift God gives us for the kingdom of God. Then an offering is beyond that. And the Old Testament stipulated a special offering for the poor every 3 years. For the poor particularly, because God's heart beats for the poor. I don't know if any of our Good Samaritan volunteers are in this second service this morning, but I love that ministry. And I watch from around the corner and I listen. Dignity granted, hope restored, because our storehouse is filled. But secondly, I want you to notice, when you plant the seed of giving, not only do you restore God's favor and blessing in your life, but secondly, you have something to share with others. Listen to this powerful promise from St. Paul. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Now, you must decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Pressure is not God's way. Possibility is God's way. The possibility that you really can help answer the heartfelt need in another person's life. For God loves a cheerful person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. The thought isn't finished. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously. Who, to whom? To the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For some, it doesn't matter how much you make. It's never enough. I won't ask for a show of hands, but have you ever been in that place where you make more and it still ain't ever enough? Because there's a spiritual principle at work. When we invite God into that most intimate and frightening place in our lives, first of all, He begins to change our passions and priorities, and we discover that there's a difference between need and want. How many of us are caught in want? Only two people. Praise the Lord, we have a sanctified congregation. Only two of us are trapped in the want category. The Spirit of the living God helps us understand the difference between want and need. But it's only here when we trust God that we actually have something to give. And when we have something to give, we're not reluctant, are we? We're joyful, aren't we? Because we can make a difference. When we plant the seed of giving, it not only restores God's favor to bless us, but secondly, He gives us something to share. And thirdly, when you plant the seed of giving, you produce other seeds that grow a greater harvest. Jesus Himself said, "Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you used, it will be measured to you." When this principle begins to take hold in your life, and there is a freedom, there is a joy to hold on to what you have lightly, it witnesses to others. Others see the joy of giving in you, and you witness and help birth seeds of giving in other people's lives. It feels so good to give, and you can't help but want to share that feeling. I am so grateful for the mission heart of this church, and for those of you who are working toward the tithe, those of you who find joy in the offering. But I'm convinced there are too many good people, even in this great church, who are persistently keeping the spigot of God's blessing turned off because you're afraid, because you're not sure you can trust Him, because you've been led to believe that real men don't need God. We pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. I invite you to let God into your life. And in this season, as we dream about ministry and mission in 2014, to begin to open the spigot of blessing to flow into you and flow through you for the kingdom of God. one more percentage toward the tithe. One more gift, trusting God and seeing what He'll do. One more opportunity for God to change your wants and help you be satisfied with what you have. I find great joy in giving. And I encourage you to find it too. I hope you received your stewardship commitment card in the mail from me this week. Did you? If not, you will be. Hear me. That is not a tax on your membership. That commitment card indeed helps us plan responsibly for ministry in the year ahead, and we must be responsible in our planning. But more than that, I want you to see it as your garden spigot. And that card has the capacity to turn on the blessing of God in your life. That's something to think about.